has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, the Tuesday edition of Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We have another second straight day of NASDAQ outperforming the Dow. Now, I still own several tech NASDAQ stocks. I got rid of my high flyers that had pretty much been exploited to the max, might you say. But we've seen a big shift in the market away from NASDAQ towards cyclicals, away from growth to value. It's not showing up today. The NASDAQ's up 104 right now, 0.75%. The NASDAQ's at 13,563, still about 600 points away from the all-time high that it set several weeks ago. The Dow, on the other hand, is down 112. There's a couple of stocks that are hurting it. Yesterday it was Lilly. They had bad news on their Alzheimer drug. I'm not quite sure who it is today. I'll take a look during the break. But the Dow down 112 after hitting a new all-time high yesterday. So nobody really complaining there. 32,840 as it closes in on 33,000. Now, the big news was the S&P 500 yesterday crashing through that 3950 level to an all-time high. I was a little worried that that might be a lid, a ceiling, but no, yesterday we cleared that level. That's a significant event. The small caps, which have been on the receiving end, are on the losing end today. They're down 1%. We must have a drop in interest rates. We'll take a look at that here in a second. 2336 on the Russell 2K, oil down $1.08 to $64.31. Gold going nowhere, up $5 an ounce. Silver down 25 cents. Yeah, the 10 years down under 1.6, but down just one basis point at 1.59%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Kind of a little rainy, drizzly day here on the Wando River in the Mount Pleasant area of South Carolina, but I'm seeing worse weather in other nooks of the woods out there, so we're okay. We're 61 degrees, something like that, but no fishing today, it doesn't look like. Water's still pretty cold anyways. We still got another several weeks here before we get up to where the fishing starts to get interesting, you know? Well, the market's certainly been interesting lately. We opened the year with this mass, well, let's call it February. February was a month of a massive shift away from high PE to low PE. A raging river gushing away from the high PE stocks to the low PE stocks. Now, we've had a little recovery rally here the last couple of days in the NASDAQ. But, you know, as I look at the bellwether stocks, you know, I looked at Amazon yesterday. Just a dead chart, just dead in the water. I looked at a chart of Apple yesterday, just dead in the water. I looked at some of the high flyers from last year, DocuSign and Zoom Technology and CrowdStrike and ServiceNow, etc. There's just not much life in those charts. Now, having said that, you know, there are value stocks that are tech stocks. Yes, there are. In fact, those are the ones I still continue to own. They're high-tech stocks that are trading at reasonable PEG ratios, and I still have a pretty good exposure to the tech sector, but through lower PE stocks. So just because the market's moving away from growth to value doesn't mean that there aren't value stocks within the tech sector, the energy sector, the financial sector, the banking sector, the industrial sector, the software sector, you name it, across the board. But for the most part, we still have had a big rise in the value ETFs, and the tide going out on the growth ETFs. Today we're seeing just the opposite of that. Okay, well, let's dig in a little bit. Yesterday, I think the big thing that happened was finally the S&P 500 breaking through to a new all-time high. It looked like it couldn't get through that 3950 level. It finally did. We're at 3975. So we're off to the races again. Now, the consensus estimate right now on the S&P is 4,400. That's very exuberant. I mean, you've got to be using a multiple of 22 on next year's earnings. And, you know, you have to be assuming that there will not be any contraction of that multiple. Yesterday, the forward PE with that breakout through 3950, the forward PE on the S&P 500 right now is 22.8. It got as high as 23, and that's where the multiple started to collapse. But just like that, we're back up to 22.8. So suffice it to say, the market has a fair amount of valuation risk here that we have to really keep our eye on. The Dow hit another new all-time high yesterday. As I said yesterday, you wouldn't even recognize the new high list. You're not seeing any of the old work-from-home types of stocks. I haven't seen Peloton at the new high list for quite some time. I haven't seen Tesla at new highs for quite some time. Instead, it's a list that looks more like basic middle America type of stocks. The NASDAQ did close above its 50-day moving average yesterday for the first time in a long time. Maybe we're going to get a bounce here in the NASDAQ. And as I said, I still continue to own plenty of tech stocks. I'm just really minding my P's and Q's here, my PEs and my price-to-sales ratios and price-to-book value ratios, price-to-cash-flow ratios in a little bit different environment with a higher interest rate environment than we were a year ago. You've got to watch your multiples. And, of course, the Best Stocks Now app lists those important multiples on every stock that has those important multiples. If a company doesn't have a cash flow, positive cash flow, then it won't have a price-to-cash-flow ratio. If a company doesn't have any sales yet, it won't have a price-to-sales ratio. But most stocks, most companies do. NASDAQ outperformed yesterday. It's outperforming again today as the Treasury yields just inch just a little bit lower. I mean, not much. We will be hearing from the Fed this week. That always usually brings some fireworks to the market after their announcement. I don't think anybody is expecting an interest rate hike. But if inflation were to start rearing its ugly head, I mean, they've already stated that we're going to be pretty tolerant of inflation. We're not going to get too worried about it. It's if it gets out of hand and starts heating up too quickly, then you could possibly, you might hear some language from our Treasury Secretary Jay Powell on that subject here this week. Overnight, the foreign markets, nothing real exciting there. China down 0.8%, or China up 0.8%. Europe is a little worried with the AstraZeneca vaccine. They don't know for sure, but there's been a lot of blood clot, and we have a growing blood clot concerns there. And Europe has gone heavily because, you know, AstraZeneca is a Europe company. It's in the UK. So a lot of the vaccine that Europe bought is AstraZeneca, and all of a sudden you've got this concern about blood clots forming. They have suspended, most countries over there now have suspended AstraZeneca's vaccine. Grammy ratings crashed to an all-time low. You know, when I was growing up, I used to like the Grammys. Maybe you'd see Bob Dylan or Led Zepp. Or whoever, you know, Neil Young or whatever, the greats of yesteryear. Their ratings were down 50% from last year. And they weren't very good last year Grammy ratings hit an all-time low. Not good news for Viacom, V-A-I-A-C. Rising rates and the ETFs that can be impacted. Well, we've kind of gone over that. The rising rate environment is not good for bond ETFs. We've seen quite a sell-off in the bond ETFs. We've seen quite a sell-off in high-yield junk bond. We've seen, however, on the other side of that coin, a big jump in the financials and the banks as they benefit from higher interest rates. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now on this Tuesday. Well, it's pretty obvious. The two sectors that are weighing heavily on the market today, to the downside, the oil sector, the energy sector, which has had a pretty good run here recently. It's selling off today, and, of course, there's a lot more energy stocks in the Dow and in the S&P 500 than there are in the NASDAQ. And over at the NASDAQ, by far, the best-looking sector right now is the semiconductor sector. And I would say of the tech stocks that I still own, which are quite a few, most of them come from the semiconductor sector, where you can still find value. Okay, that's a misnomer to say that there aren't any value stocks to be had in the technology sector or in the NASDAQ. There's actually quite a few. There's a lot. Just look at those PEG ratios around 1. And find stocks that have 80% or more upside potential. Now, the momentum, well, you kind of want a good chart here, a chart that's starting to turn, maybe bouncing off of some major technical support. Some of those are showing up here today in my screen. So it could be a fun day, an interesting day in the market today. February, retail sales, not good, down 2.7%. In fact, that's quite bad. The retail sales stocks not doing well today. They're blaming cold weather. But I got to believe with all those checks going out that a lot of that's going to end up in the retail sector. I've also heard some forecasts that a lot of it will end up in Bitcoin. A relief check from the government ends up in Bitcoin. That seems a little bit not... Is that what it was intended for? And it's also expected, a couple of analysts out there saying 40% of the money could end up in the stock market. So we'll see. How are we going to pay for all this? Well, here comes the part we've been waiting for. Biden eyes tax increases to pay for infrastructure and climate change. Well, number one, you've got the stimulus package, which was just passed. And that's $1.9 trillion. So that has got to be paid for somehow. Otherwise, it's paid for by money printing and borrowing. The second package behind this, behind the $1.9 trillion, is an infrastructure slash climate change package. Goldman Sachs is estimating that one to be anywhere from two to four trillion on top of the 2 trillion we just spent or are spending. President Biden's planning the first major federal tax hike since 1993. 28 years ago was the last time we had a major federal tax hike to help pay for his long-term economic programs designed as a follow-up to the 1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package. Well, what's on the table? I'm sure there's a lot of it. You know, if you're doing your tax planning for the year, there's going to have to be a lot of decisions made regard. And CPAs will be very busy talking with their clients. One proposal is to take the capital gains rate from the current 20% up to 39% at the high end. Well, that would be a doubling of the capital gains tax. So if you have any long-term capital gains, I would expect there to be quite a bit of selling of long-term capital gains type of instruments towards the end of this year. Raising the income tax rate on individuals earning more than $400,000, expanding the estate tax reach, and implementing a higher capital gains rate. That we just talked about that. But here's the one that would really affect the stock market the most. This is the one that I've been talking about ever since, last September, taking the corporate tax rate back to 28% from 21%, which is where I said it would go. That's where he will take it back to. And that will have an impact. Remember my formula on the stock market: stocks follow earnings. Therefore, indexes that are made up of stocks also follow earnings, okay? So you've had earnings growing since 2008, and the stock market has followed those earnings higher. We had a hiccup in 2020 due to COVID. That was the first drop in earnings in 12 years. But it was a very quick hiccup. The hiccups went away very quickly, and the market started looking ahead to record earnings this year, 2021, and $200 in earnings or more. I think the consensus right now is $205 for S&P 500 earnings for 2022. Market always looks ahead 1 to 2 years. Okay, now here's the problem. Let's just use $200 as the baseline for next year. The market is now going to start looking at 2023. If we're all still here, if the planet's still here, 2023, taking the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%, well, I have said it should have about a 15 to 20% impact on S&P 500 earnings. So instead of $200, you're now looking at $160 in earnings. And if you're using a 20 multiple or 21 or 22 or whatever your flavor of multiple is, a tax hike on the corporations, raising the taxes back on the corporations, will have a major impact on the stock market. And I don't think it's... I don't think it's a possibility that that's going to happen. I think it's almost a certain thing that it's going to happen. So we have to start. The market is now starting to weigh that in, okay? This is really the first serious talk, although it was pretty much in the platform of the new administration that tax hikes would be on the agenda. But now we're starting to get to a point where, it's getting very, very close. We're going to start hearing more numbers and fine-tuning of these numbers, and the market is now going to start weighing in on the impacts of raising taxes pretty much across the board on the corporations and individuals. President Xi in China continues his crackdown on tech. Well, that's why I sold my Alibaba several months ago. Alibaba's browser pulled from the App Store as Xi warns of a tech crackdown. Well, it would seem that he wants a bigger share of the tech industry belonging to the state. That seems to be what's behind it. He's also coming after Tencent Holdings and, of course, Ant Group, which really kind of started this whole thing. And he's cracking down on the miners. We'll talk about that when we come back. And the current state of IPOs and SPACs. Hang on for that. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. everyone. Welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now. Now, I want to go back to that that formula once again that's guided me through the highs and the lows of the markets over the years. It's a simple mathematical equation, maybe sixth grade math, I guess. Well, you know, there's many services out there that forecast and publish, available to the public, S&P 500 earnings estimates. Okay, well, that's a big part of what I do as far as the macro picture. The macro picture influences my trading and what I'm investing in or what I'm not investing in greatly. Now, you go back to 2006. Oh, I know it's a long time ago, but we hit record earnings in 2006 during the run that we had from basically 2003 to 2006 after the NASDAQ sell-off. Okay, so we had a good run in the market. Then all of a sudden in 2007, we had a drop in S&P 500 earnings, and that was a precursor to the huge drop we saw in 2008. Which came about because of the financial crisis. We went from record earnings in 2006, clear down to $53 per share on the S&P 500 earnings in 2008. Well, you stick an 18 to 20 multiple on that, the S&P was worth about $800 to $1,000 back in 2008. Now, since then, 2008, we bottomed out in March of 2008. Ever since then, for the last 13 years, we've had rising earnings for the S&P 500. That's the aggregate earnings for the S&P 500. That's the sum total of all 500 companies that make up the S&P 500. And that has caused me to be bullish. As long as earnings are rising and the multiple stays within check and doesn't get too out of hand, how can you be anything but a bull? And we had a lot of people that missed many of the years over the last 13 years of a rising market. And earnings during this period of time, beginning in 2008, when they got down to $53 per share, I said just before the break that next year we're expecting $200 per share. I've heard as high as $225. I think the consensus right now is $205. So earnings have quadrupled during that time period. Do a little simple math in your head. The S&P was worth $1,000 back then. Earnings have quadrupled since then. And the S&P is almost at $4,000 now. Do you see the almost exact link between earnings and your index? Earnings have quadrupled, the market has quadrupled. Well, okay, I know. That's looking backwards, Bill. What about looking forward? Well, not only does the market trade on actual earnings, but more importantly than that, it trades on expectations. Why, for instance, if it didn't, would the market bottom a year ago when things looked ugly? Because it was looking ahead. It was looking past last year's hiccup in earnings to earnings this year, which are expected to come in about 167, 170, 175, somewhere in there. And again, 205 next year. However, those are estimates, okay? Those are the expectations as we sit here today. What can change those expectations? Well, a major tax hike would have a huge impact because, as I said before the break, that could send expectations for next year, 2022, down in the 160 to 165 range, okay? And I think that it would also have an impact if you start seeing a drop in earnings expectations. the market's not going to carry the glamour multiple that it's been carrying here for the last 12 months. We're carrying a multiple right now of 23 times forward earnings, when the long-term average has been more in the 16 to 18 range. So let's just take kind of the worst-case scenarios, which is not that far out of the realm of possibility. In 2022, you make $160, $165 per share after taxes. S&P 500 earnings are always after taxes. I think you would also see shrinkage of the multiple back to a more normal. The multiple has expanded during this expansion that we've had, but you start to get an earnings contraction, and you're going to see a contraction of the multiple too. So let's be generous. Let's say $160, and let's take the multiple back to 18, which is the 10-year average. That's at the high end of the 10-year average. You get an S&P that's worth $2,900 a year and a half from now, and it's currently trading at $3,900. I mean, what would that do to the 3D printer stocks, the flying taxis, the autonomous cars, the artificial intelligence stocks? Well, luckily, it's a market of stocks. It's a market of ETFs. I mean, that's why I invented my Best Stocks Now app, because it's on a relative basis. There will be some things that it could be the inverse funds. But that's a very real possibility that I think the market right now, just like it was the vast majority of people were underestimating the buying situation that we had back in March of last year, I think they're underestimating the impact that some of these proposals out there on fiscal policy could have on the market going forward. So, hey, we have to be on our guard right now. We have to watch how things develop here very, very closely. We have to watch what goes on in Congress. We have to watch what words come out of Janet Yellen's mouth. I think she's pretty much the key spokesman for fiscal policy. Global IPO market in Q1 on a rampage. Well, you know what? That's a sign of they're getting what they can while it lasts, while money is being handed out to the SPACs and the IPOs. There's no shortage of capital available to invest in these things. Bloomberg data indicates that a record $162 billion in the first 3 months of 2020 has been raised by 600 issuers. No wonder I've been working long days. I've had to add all of those issuers, 600 of them, to the app. 600 have come public since 2021. What was the number last year? Well, we've raised $162 billion so far this year. Last year it was $37 billion. Of course, that was some COVID months in there. But still, calling this a rampage is definitely a correct hyperbole-type word here to use. The SPACs have accounted for half of the proceeds. And just from where I sit, The quality of the SPACs has not been very good. Now, let's just take a look at the SPAC ETF, SPAQ, which I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. It has rebounded somewhat. It was on a tear. It went from 22 to 35. It went on a 50% run. Then it dropped all the way back to 25, a 33% drop. Now it's back up to 30. So if you believe in the SPACs, as a group now, okay, as a group, there's probably 500 SPACs in that SPAC ETF. Now, let's look at the IPO ETF here, too, which has also been on it there. It's had a big correction also. It got up to $77 a share, and then it went clear down to $58. So it had a sell-off of about 25%. Well, I think the SPACs and the IPOs are rushing to market as quickly as they can right now before some of this risk capital starts to dry up. They're excited in Las Vegas. They had a huge weekend. 50% is the new rule in Las Vegas, 50% of capacity. Well, so you get a slot machine and your drinks coming to you and nobody within 6 feet of you? That sounds pretty good, huh? Let's see what else we got. Altria. You know, that stock's been on a tear. Where has some of that stimulus money been going? Where have some of that work-from-home money, stay-at-home money been going? Cigarettes, tobacco. Philip Morris has been on a tear. It's a value stock. Unfortunately, it's way overvalued now. Citigroup says it's worth 46, trading at 49. Okay, when we come back, I got a couple of possibilities here to talk about. This is Bill Gunnarsson. This is Best Stocks Now.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, let's take a look here at some possibilities. I see there's some news on the solar stocks. I'm not liking them. I cashed in. I had some big profits on the solar stocks. I see California's starting to take away some of the incentives there. So I think I'll pass on that story. I owned several in that space, especially during when it appeared. To me, it looked obvious that Biden was going to win. I know a lot of people disagreed with me. I thought he was going to be the winner. He won, and I had a pretty good exposure to the green energy stocks, which then went on a tear. But I've cashed in on most of those green energy stocks for now. The hydrogen fuel cells are in the news. I made a lot of money in Plug Power. I cashed in on that one. There's some action right now in the natural gas sector. Westport Fuel, for instance, WPRT. Let me see. They reported earnings. They make natural gas engines. Yeah, it just looks okay. I'm not real hot on that alternative fuel energy sector right now. Yeah, there's the one I want to talk about. I told you there's still value stocks in the NASDAQ. And how do you measure value? Well, let's use an example. Micron Technology, MU, $79 billion company. Is currently trading at 4.5 times sales. It's trading at 2.5 times price to book value and 12 times price to cash flow, which is kind of equivalent to a PE ratio, but cash flow differs a little bit. Sometimes, you know, they're paying off loans as part of their cash flow. Sometimes they're buying other companies as part of their cash flow. But suffice it to say, I like a low price to cash flow ratio in this market. Now, let's look at forward PE. We know we just talked about the market, the S&P 500, which is trading at almost 30 times forward earnings. That's not sustainable in a rising interest rate environment and in a dangerous fiscal policy environment for the stock market. Okay, Micron is trading at one-third of that. It's trading at 10 times forward earnings because it tends to be in a cyclical business. You know, the chips that it makes, dynamic random access memory, DRAM chips, otherwise known as DRAM chips. They tend to be a commodity cyclical type, so you get lower PEs. But having said that, 10 times forward earnings is quite attractive on a big tech stock right now. The growth rate expected going forward, then part of this growth rate is being aided by the shortage in the automotive chip market, which has made quite a bit of news, where Micron plays a big role there. Micron earnings are expected to grow over the next 5 years by 18% per year. That's the consensus analyst estimate. The forward PE is 10, so you divide 10 into 18 and you get a PEG ratio less than 1. 0.56 is the PEG ratio. I have a five-year target price of 177, which gives the stock, trading at 88 right now, 100% upside potential. Underline, boldface, highlight, quotation mark, potential. That's based on the current expectations. And the stock has quite a bit of momentum right now, which not many technology stocks do. In fact, it has a momentum grade of B+. It's up 129% over the last 12 months. The market's up 56.9. Yeah, that's how far the market's come since COVID, 56.9%. I'm the guy that called the bottom on March 19th. That was a 60% call, if you listen to me, just buying the S&P 500. Over the last 3 months, Micron's up 21.5%. It's tripled the returns of the S&P 500. When I take all of this into account, okay, my formula for stocks is valuation, almost half of the equation. Investors Business Daily leaves out valuation. Many of these high-flying ETFs that are out there buying the space launch stocks and the 3D printer stocks, I can't see where they're paying much attention to valuation. They're hoping that at some point those stocks will grow into their valuations that's being given to them right now. I just see that as a long ways off. That's my own take. I would rather have something where I can sink my teeth into a valuation right now and make sense of it, okay? And Micron, the other half, almost half of my equation is momentum. I want a little bit of oomph. You know, just like you want to be coming into March Madness with some momentum. You don't want to have lost your last seven games or whatever. I saw there was a team that won 21 in a row to end the season. They didn't make the tournament. How can that happen? But they had a lot of momentum going into the tournament. Momentum's a good thing. It's a good thing in the stock market, especially when you can combine it with value. That's a rare combination, which really narrows down a big field of stocks, ETFs, mutual funds, etc., and points the way for me on a daily basis. I've got a lot to look at today that meet that criteria. And then I finally look at the stock chart. Micron has a very good stock chart right now. And I look at a safety factor, too. Is this a really high-risk company with something that might not work? No. It's an established company in the tech industry. In fact, the leader, really the leader at what they do. So we'll use Micron, which is currently ranked number 281 out of 5,637, as an example of a value stock in the tech sector. That almost seems like an oxymoron, but no. The tech stocks that I still own, and I still own quite a few, they also meet my valuation criteria. And I'm finding new stocks out there that also meet my valuation criteria from the tech sector. And the sell-off has exposed a few of those. So we should have some interesting days here at Gunderson Capital if you're one of my subscribers and following along, or one of my clients. If you would like to be one of my subscribers, one of my clients, to follow along with what Bill does, you can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Or you can talk to one of my advisors at 855-611-BEST. How can we help you? 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.